I stood at the edge of the circle, rubbing ice from my eyelashes. It was too cold to take notes, so I watched faces and read the frostbite scars, little badges of honor that told of lives spent outdoors on one of the planet's most unyielding landscapes. The group soon broke up and began smoking last cigarettes before the long ride into darkness. Atketuk walked over to ask whether I was warm enough. He was tall, broad-shouldered, laughed easily. He'd been a ranger for many years before the others had voted him their new commander. In a friendly way, he warned me not to fall asleep on the journey ahead. "It happened," he said. "Sometimes people tumbled off their snowmobiles and went missing." He reminded me that there was currently no cell service on the island or anywhere else in the territory of Nunavut, 3 times the size of Texas. Quote, "If anything happens and you get separated, just sit tight till someone comes back for you," he said, "and try not to meet any polar bears," end quote. The rangers are called Canada's Eyes and Ears in the North, and their units have been patrolling the country's outermost regions since the 1940s. Most rangers in the far north are Indigenous volunteers, and over the years they've acted as scouts, participated in war games, and helped regular troops learn to build igloos, navigate tundra, and generally stay alive in the cold. Their role, like the far north itself, isn't well known, and the rangers have always managed to keep going on a shoestring budget and hand-me-down equipment, including the government-issued bolt-action rifles made in the 1940s and stamped with the British Crown.